Hey, welcome everybody to 50 Days of Transformation. We've been looking forward to this weekend for a long time. Glad you guys are here. You guys that are early risers, you're amazing. Give it up for yourselves. You're amazing. Bless you. Hey, if you happen to be a guest, let me introduce myself to you. My name is Brian Anderson. I'm one of the pastors here at the Vineyard. We're going to get into the message in just a moment, but two things before we do that. First of all, if you have a Bible with you, where we're going to begin is Romans 12. It's sort of our theme verse, Romans 12, verse 2. So if you have a Bible or an electronic device, click on Romans 12, 2. We'll get into some other scriptures after that in a moment. But then also we're going to receive our offering before we get into the message. If I could have the ushers please come forward. And as they're coming forward, I want to thank those of you that give financially to God through our church, through Vineyard Church North Phoenix, and remind you that when you do that, you really do help change so many people's lives in so many different ways. We just saw the video of, you know, Angel Tree that we just did last month, the month before that. We did our Thanksgiving food basket outreach. I mean, we're trying to serve and help our community in all kinds of ways. And when we give to God through our church, those are some of the things that are accomplished. So may the Lord bless you as you give. I'd like us to pray for the offering and ask God's blessing on the offering. But since we're starting 50 Days of Transformation, you know, I talked about this if you were here last weekend, that one of the really important things for us to be transformed is that we have to really sort of offer ourselves to God, the little that we have, like, you know, the 5 loaves and 2 fish that Jesus used to multiply that food to feed like 15 or 20,000 people. And that's the way that I want us to begin. I want us to offer ourselves to God and ask God, God, would you really begin the process of transforming me? And so we're going to do a little something different this weekend. I'm going to have all of us, if you're able to stand. And I'd like us to offer our bodies to God, sort of as living sacrifices. And even as we sang a moment ago, just ask God to have his way as we begin this transformation campaign. Okay, so let's pray. We'll pray for the offering, and then we're going to really offer our lives to God and ask him to begin the process inside of us. Lord, as we give back to you financially, God, we pray that you would take the money that we give and that you would use it to help change the world one life at a time. And God, whenever we give, whether we give right now when the offering bags are passed or we gave earlier online or we give automated, however we give, God, we do pray that you would bless not only the gift that we give, but you would bless us as the giver for our faithfulness. So take this money, God, that we give and use it to help change the world. And as we begin this transformation campaign, this 50 days of transformation, Lord, we start out by, like your word says in Romans 12:1, we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice to you, holy and acceptable to you, Lord, as our spiritual service of worship. And we pray, God, whatever transformation we need, oftentimes we don't even know, God, what we need, but we ask that you'd begin that process inside of us. Transform our hearts, transform our minds, transform our lives, Lord. And God, I pray for myself right now as well. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would truly anoint and empower me as we get into this message, Lord, that you would speak through me, that it would not be me speaking, but it would be truly you speaking. So come and have your way in every one of us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Like I said a moment ago, our theme verse for this campaign is going to be Romans 12:2, which I had you turn to, where Paul commands us, and he says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Why? So that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And so the idea here is that God wants you and I to be nonconformists. He says, do not be conformed to this world. And the fact is, in this life, you and I are either going to be conformed to this world, or we're going to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And the Bible says that God created every one of us to be unique. God created you to be special. God created you to be like nobody else. I mean, just think about it. You have all kinds of unique characteristics about yourself. You have a unique thumbprint. You have a unique voice print. You have a unique eye print. You have a unique heartbeat. You know, you are unique. Some of you are even left-handed, which makes you even more unique. You know, God doesn't make clones. Man does, but God doesn't make clones. And so God is saying to us, I want you to be unique. I don't want you to be conformed to anybody else's idea of who you should be. And so the problem is, we all start off as originals, but we end up oftentimes as copies. It's because we get shoved and pressured and pushed and molded into thinking like everybody else, talking like everybody else, spending like everybody else, obsessing like everybody else, living like everybody else. But we're not supposed to be like everybody else. Now, during the next 50 days or so, we're going to look at 7 key areas of our lives. And we're going to look at the changes that we all need to make in these areas, and we all want to make, and we all can make by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at our spiritual health, our physical health, our emotional health, our mental health. We're going to look at transforming the way we think and transforming the way we feel, transforming the way that we view and handle money, transforming the way that we look at our vocations, our jobs. We're going to do all that in the next 50 days. But today, as we begin this campaign, we're going to talk about setting goals. Now, you might think, well, Brian, why should we set goals in our life? I mean, isn't that sort of a, you know, sort of a secular thing or whatever? Well, you need to know that setting goals by faith is part of us joining God in His desire to change us and to make us like His Son, Jesus. And so really, the next 50 days is all about the future. It's about you and I making the rest of our life the best of our life. And the rest of our life begins today. And so I want to begin by giving you 6 reasons why we need to set goals in different areas of our life. The first reason is because goal setting is a spiritual responsibility. It's a spiritual responsibility. Did you know that God actually sets goals? Did you know that God has a goal for the universe? That God has plans for planet Earth? That God has a plan for history, that God has a plan for eternity, and God has a plan for your life. God has goals for your life. And when you read the Bible, you find out that the Bible says that Jesus, when he was on this earth, he set goals. Jesus was very purposeful. He was a man on a mission. And if you know the scriptures, you know that Satan tried to tempt him. He tried to distract him. He tried to derail him from what he came to do. But no one who has ever lived was more purposeful than Jesus. For example, in Mark chapter 1, the Bible says that Jesus gets up while it's still very dark, early, early in the morning, and he goes off by himself to a solitary place so he can pray to God the Father. Well, hours later, Peter and some of the other disciples, they're looking for him, and you can tell that they're clearly exasperated that he's off by himself, and they finally find him, and they say, Jesus, everybody's looking for you. What are you doing? And Jesus replies in Mark 1, verse 38, he says, we must go on to other towns as well, and I will preach to them too. That is why I came. See, he knew exactly who he was and why he was here. He was here for a specific purpose. He had a specific goal in mind. And it's not just with Jesus. You know, just about every person in the Bible who really walked with God had goals for their life. They were living by a set of God-given goals. For example, the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, he says to the Philippians in Philippians 3, starting in verse 12, not that I've already obtained it or have already become perfect. Can anybody relate to that? Hopefully, most of us know that we're not yet what God wants us to be. I haven't already become perfect, but he says, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Then he says in verse 13, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. Now, I'm going to stop there just for a moment. Because as I was praying about this message this week and studying for this message, I really felt like God spoke to me out of that portion of the scripture right there. And it's sort of a prophetic word, I think, for some of you this weekend, is that some of you need to forget what lies behind. Some of you are feeling maybe remorse, regret, condemnation, whatever, about things that may have happened last year, maybe years ago or whatever. But I feel like God is saying to some of you this weekend, you need to forget what lies behind. This is a new year with a new start, and God is saying, I want to do something new in your life. Some of you need to grab a hold of that. If that's you, make sure that you underline that part in the scriptures. Forgetting what lies behind, Paul says, and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. See, Paul was goal-oriented. He says, I haven't laid hold of it yet, but I am pressing on toward the goal. And so why is it so important for you and I to set goals? Because it's a spiritual responsibility. You know, we're going to go through life either by design or by default. Design or default. You're either going to set goals for your life and the way that you want to live your life in certain areas of your life, or you know what's going to happen? Other people are going to determine the way that you live your life in those areas. It's either you or them. And if we don't have clear goals for our life, it's sort of like we're just kind of coasting through life. And I think a lot of Christians just end up coasting through life. And you know what's true about coasting? Whenever you're coasting, it means you're going downhill. And so goal setting is an important spiritual responsibility. Second reason to set personal goals is because goals are statements of faith. They're actually statements of faith. Now, I know some of you are thinking, Brian, what do you mean a goal is a statement of faith? You know, isn't a goal just sort of like a secular thing? Isn't that like a business thing? You know, people in the business world, maybe they set goals, or athletes, you know, maybe they set goals. But me? No, you need to know. This is a spiritual habit that all of us need to develop. We all do. And one of the reasons we need to do that is because goals are statements of faith. You say, what do you mean a statement of faith? Well, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you set a goal in a particular area of your life, what you're saying is this: I believe, there's faith, I believe that God wants me to accomplish X, Y, and Z by such and such a time. See, that's a statement of faith. That's what a goal is. And goals are not only statements of faith, but goals also stretch our faith. And the bigger our goals, the more our faith will be stretched. And that's one of the things that really pleases God. In fact, the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if I don't have any goals, then I don't really need any faith. And if I don't need any faith, then the Bible says that it's impossible for me to please God. So it's really important for you and I to set some goals. Third reason why we're to set personal goals is because goals focus our energy. In other words, they keep us from wasting time and wasting energy, and wasting money. They help sort of focus where our life is headed. And focus really is the key, at least one of the keys, to living an effective life. The more focus you have in your life, the more powerful and the more effective that your life's going to be. But if your life is just completely spread out, you know, diffused over all kinds of different things, your life's not going to make that much of an impact. But if you focus your life, your life's going to become impactful. It's going to become strong, and it just might become the kind of life that will help change the world. You know, it's sort of like light. Light that is diffused has no power at all, does it? But focused light has enormous power. You know, if you think about the sun doesn't set things on fire. Why? Because the sun's light is diffused. But if you just take a magnifying glass and the sun, and you have a little bit of patience, you can set all kinds of things on fire. You can set ants on fire. Not that I would know from personal experience. But you can actually set ants on fire. Why? Because the light is focused. And if you focus light even more than that, it can become a laser. And a laser can cut through steel. And so one of the things that I want for every one of us is that we begin to live laser-focused lives. Goals help focus our energy. Fourth reason to set goals is that goals keep us going. They give us hope to endure. They give us hope to persist. You know, I know in the natural, because I know many of you personally, that some of you have really been having some difficult times recently. And I also know in the spirit realm that some of you are going through sort of hell on earth right now. And so a question to ask is, when you're going through hell, so to speak, what do you want to do? You want to keep going. You don't want to make a home in hell. You don't want to stay in hell and camp overnight. No, when you're going through hell, you want to keep going. And the way that you keep going when you're going through difficulties, when you're going through hell, is you have to have some sort of a goal that will give you the focus and the energy and the willpower to keep going. You have to have some sort of goal out there. You know, like the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 12:2 about Jesus, he says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, listen to this, for the joy set before him, because he had a goal, the joy set before him, what did he do? He endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, what did Jesus do when he was going through hell, so to speak? He looked beyond the pain to the payoff. And that's what you and I have to do in life as well. Because we're all going to go through tough times. We're all going to have difficulties, and we have to have goals in order to help us keep going. You know, they did a study once of Holocaust survivors. Those who survived the Nazi concentration camps in World War II. And do you know what they found? They discovered that all of the survivors had one thing in common. Every single one of them had a goal that they were looking forward to. They had a goal of something that they wanted to live for. Those that didn't have a goal like that, they didn't really have something they were looking forward to or having something that they wanted to live for, they lost hope. They simply gave up the will to live, and they ended up dying. See, when you and I have some sort of long-term goals, it keeps us from being discouraged when we experience short-term setbacks. And I want you to know, everybody has short-term setbacks. Everybody has failures. Everybody goes through difficulties. Everybody goes through things that try to derail them from what they're trying to accomplish. In fact, you know, failure is really the only way that you and I end up succeeding. We can't really succeed without failing. Why? Because that's how we learn what works and what doesn't work, is by failing, by finding out some things that don't work. And so Let me encourage you in this way. When you do something that you think you failed at, don't call it a failure. Call it an education. Some of us are highly educated, aren't we? An education. You know, one piece of advice I'd like to give you as your pastor is, you know, learn to fail fast. Because you're going to fail. Everybody fails at one time or another. So fail as fast as you can and then learn from it. You know, when you try something that doesn't work, then try something else. And that's one of the things that goals do. They keep us going. And long-term goals keep us from being discouraged when short-term setbacks come. You know, maybe you're here this weekend and you're feeling a little discouraged. Maybe you're a little depressed about something going on in your life. Maybe you look back on 2015 and you don't feel good about it. You feel discouraged or depressed about it, whatever. If that's the case, one of the things that will really help you is if you set some new goals. Some new goals. And that's one of the things that we're all going to do in the next 50 days. All right, the fifth reason to set goals is because goals build my character. Drifting doesn't build my character. Goals build my character. Because, see, if you set a goal and you sort of begin to get God's vision for your life, then what happens is God begins to work inside of you. And so I believe that the greatest benefit to your life from the goals that you're going to set over the next 50 days is not really going to be the accomplishments and the achievements that you acquire because of those goals. That'll be great. But I believe the greatest benefit is going to be what happens inside of you while you're moving toward those goals. Because God is more interested in our character than he is in our accomplishments. I mean, when you think about it, we're not going to take our accomplishments with us to heaven. We're not going to take our successes, so to speak, with us to heaven. We're not going to take those kinds of things with us, but we will take our character with us to heaven. And so God is much more interested in who we are and what kind of people we become than he is in just what we do and what we accomplish. And so here's the idea. While I'm working on my goals, God is working on me. And that's what's going to happen over the next 50 days. God is going to be working on us as we work on our goals. Goals build our character. And the sixth reason to set goals is because good goals will be rewarded. They'll be rewarded. If you have sort of God goals, good goals, you're going to be rewarded for that. In fact, Proverbs 11:27 says, if your goals are good, you'll be respected. If you want to be respected, then you need to set some goals in your life that are good. Some goals that are God-given. You know, for example, a guy by the name of William Wilberforce, he had a God-given goal to end slavery in England. And his faithfulness and his single-mindedness and his dogged determination and dedication toward that goal over a 25-year period eventually led to the end of slavery in England. We all know about Martin Luther King Jr. He had a goal, racial equality. And we all know that he did amazing things. And Martin Luther King Jr. is amazingly respected. See, if our goals are good, we'll be respected. But see, the real reward in setting goals is actually rooted in the life to come. It's not just here and now. It's in the life to come. The Apostle Paul said it like this in 1 Corinthians 9:25. He said, all athletes practice strict self-control. In other words, they eat right, they sleep right, they exercise, all that stuff. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. You know, people don't remember that long who won the game last week. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run, Paul says, straight to the goal with purpose in every step. See, Paul was a purpose-driven goal setter. And that's what we need to be as well. And so there are lots and lots of reasons for you and I to set goals. But a question that we need to answer is this. What kind of goal does God bless? What kind of goal does God reward? Because not every goal is a good goal. Not every goal that you and I could set would be a goal that God's going to reward or bless. And so what we want to do over the next 50 days is we want to set some goals in these seven areas over the next 7 weeks, but we want to set the kind of goal that God is going to bless and God is going to reward. So how do I know if I'm setting a goal that God is going to reward or bless? Look at number three. I want to give you three questions to ask yourself while you're setting your goals. So the first question is this. Will this goal honor God? Will this goal honor God? Now you might say, well, Brian, what kind of goal actually honors God? What kind of goal would bring God glory? Well, any goal that causes you to trust God more or to love God more or to love other people more or to serve God more or to serve others more or to be unselfish, anything along those lines, then that's a good goal. That's a goal that God is going to bless. Let me give you a couple of examples. 1 Corinthians 6:20. God paid a great price for you, so use your body to honor God. Are you using your body to honor God? Or are you only using your body for pleasure? Are you only using your body for selfish reasons? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, when you eat or drink or do anything, underline the word anything if you're taking notes, or do anything, always do it to honor God. Did you know that everything that you and I do can be done to honor God? Did you know that you can clean your house to honor God? You can take out the garbage to honor God. You can do the dishes in a way that you honor God. You can study for a test in a way that honors God. How do we do it in a way that honors God? We do it with the right motive and the right attitude. It's having the attitude, God, I want to do this in the best way I can possibly do it because I want to bring honor to you with my life. God, I want to honor you with my life. You know, around here at the Vineyard, we talk about excellence a lot. Excellence, you know, we talk about that with our pastors. We want to do everything we can with excellence. We talk about that with our staff. We want to do everything with excellence. And the reason we want to do everything with excellence is because when you do something with excellence, you do your work at your job with excellence, you clean your house with excellence, you do everything you can do with excellence, when you do it like that, it does two things. It honors God. Doing things with excellence honors God, but it also inspires people. When we do things that are done in an excellent way, it inspires people. Sometimes I'll walk around our campus and I'll talk to our maintenance team, which I think does an amazing job of taking care of our campus. And I'll tell them, thank you so much for doing an excellent job. And I'll remind them, because when you do an excellent job at anything, you're honoring God and you're inspiring people. And that's one of the questions we need to ask ourselves as we set goals. Is this goal a goal that's going to honor God? Second question to ask ourselves in goal setting, is this goal motivated by love? See, God's not going to bless a goal that's motivated by greed or motivated by competition or guilt. God's not going to bless a goal that's motivated by worry or fear or anxiety. God's not going to bless a goal that's motivated by materialism or ego or pride. But when you set a goal out of love, You say to God, God, I want to accomplish this goal because I love you. And I want to learn how to love others. That's a goal that God is going to bless. See, the Bible tells us that life is all about learning how to love. It's learning how to love. Like Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:1, love must be your highest goal. Your highest goal. He says later in that book, chapter 16, he says, everything you do must be done with love. Everything. And so as a follower of Jesus, that should be the number one goal of our life. God, I want to learn how to love. I want to learn how to love you. I want to learn how to love others. I want to learn how to love unlovely people. I want to learn how to love the unloved. I want to learn how to love hard to love people. See, when we do that, that's when we're like God. And why is it so important for us to base our goals on love? Because whenever you and I set sort of loveless goals, what's going to happen is we're going to end up using people to accomplish those goals. We'll end up using people to accomplish those goals. If your goal is just, you know, climbing the ladder of success at work, oftentimes what you'll do is you'll step on other people on your way up the ladder. You'll end up running over your marriage. You'll end up running over friends. And so God says, no, you have it wrong. Life, God says, is not really about accomplishments. At least not nearly as much as life is about relationships. It's about learning how to love. And so is this goal that I'm setting in this area, is it motivated by love? Does it honor God? Is it motivated by love? And then the third question to ask ourselves, will this goal require me to depend on God? Remember, we looked earlier, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if I'm setting goals that don't require any faith, then it's not a God-pleasing goal. Will this goal cause me to depend on God? So if you're setting goals that either honor God, or they're motivated by love, or they're requiring you to depend on God more, then you can know that that's a goal that God is going to bless. All right, look at this verse in Proverbs 16:9. The writer says, we can make our plans. If you're taking notes, underline that part. We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. See, that's really what we're going to do over the next 50 days. We're going to do our best to plan the way that we want to live in 2016. We're going to plan. But, as the scripture says, only God gives us the power and the energy and the ability to actually do it. Only God enables us to be transformed. Why? Because God provides the three things that you and I absolutely must have if we're going to reach our goals. Three things I need to reach my goals. The first one is I need the Holy Spirit to empower me. See, this is not something that's going to be based on willpower. Willpower in the long run doesn't work. It's not enough. This is based on God's power. And so I need God's Spirit to empower me in order to make the changes that I want to make. And so one of the things that you and I need to do every single day is we need to ask the Holy Spirit to fill us and to empower us and to help us. We need to do that every day. That should be the first thing that you say every morning. Holy Spirit, would you fill me right now? Would you empower me? And we need to probably do that multiple times a day. Just as we go through our lives. Holy Spirit, would you help me as I go into this meeting? Would you empower me? Would you give me wisdom? Holy Spirit, would you empower me to accomplish this goal that I'm trying to accomplish? Whatever. We need the Holy Spirit to empower us. The second thing we need to reach our goals is we need God's Word to guide us. We need the Bible. Because the Bible, as Christians, is our truth source. And so the more that I can get the Bible into my mind and into my heart and into my spirit, In other words, the more I read the Bible and study the Bible and meditate on the Bible and memorize the Bible, the more transformed my life will become. You know, when Joshua was given the great dream of taking over the promised land after Moses died, and it was a goal that was going to take him the rest of his life, God said this to Joshua in Joshua 1:8. He said, "This book of the law," meaning the scriptures, "this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night." Meditate on it day and night, he says. Why? So that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then, watch this part, "for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." Isn't that an amazing promise that God makes about us being prosperous and us having success? He says, "Brian, if you want to be successful in life, if you want to be prosperous in life, don't allow the word of God to depart from your mouth. But meditate on it day and night. Why? So that you may be careful to do, to obey it, to do according to all that is written in it. For then you'll make your way prosperous and then you'll have success." If I'm going to accomplish these goals, if you are, we're going to need God's word to guide us. And then the third thing we need to reach our goals is we need God's people to support us. We're not going to be able to reach these goals on our own. We need other people in our life. And that's why we're insisting that everybody in our church family get into a small group. You know, we have like 270 small groups. They meet different places all over the valley. They meet on different nights, different times, different days, whatever. We want everybody in this campaign to make sure they're getting into a small group. You know, the truth is, you're never really going to feel a part of Vineyard Church North Phoenix unless you're in a small group. See, when you just come on the weekends, that's a good thing, but you're just part of a crowd. And a crowd can't support you. But a small group can. You know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10, 15 other people. They can support you because they'll know when you're sick. They'll know when you're going through a tough time, when you're having a bad day. I need God's people to support me. You know, I want you to know, this 50 days of transformation, this is going to be a whole lot of fun. It really is. I'm very excited about it. But it's going to be more than fun. It's going to be more than fun because it's going to change your life. But it will only change your life if you will do it. If you will do it. As I've written there, if you will hear and read and watch and talk and do, you will grow. But if all you do is come to church on the weekends and hear, you're not really going to be transformed. You're not really going to be much different in 50 days than you are right now. But if you'll hear it and read it and watch it, the DVDs in your small group, and discuss it in your small group, and do it, you will not be the same person in 50 days. You will be a better person. And so the real question is, will you do it? Will you do it? Let's pray. Would you open up your heart to God right now? I know that for some of you that may be sort of a new concept. But the fact is, God is here right now. And there are many of us that maybe we need to do some spiritual business with God. And that really is the question that I believe God is asking every one of us. Will you do it? And I've told you probably 100 times over the last 10 or 15 years, if you've been part of our church, that every advancement that anybody ever makes in the kingdom of God, every advancement always begins the same way. It begins with a commitment. A commitment. You will never advance in God's kingdom without making a commitment. And I want to challenge you. Challenge you last weekend as well if you were here, but I want to challenge you to make a commitment to three things. Number one, you're going to be here every weekend. For the next 50 days, I'm going to be here. God, I'm making a commitment to that. And number two, I want to challenge you to make a commitment to join a small group over the next 50 days. They all start this week. If you're not part of a small group yet, you can go out in the lobby. Somebody can help you. You can go online, figure it out. We have lots of choices. But make a commitment. Okay, God, I'm going to be here every weekend for the next 50 days. I'm going to join a small group, and I'm going to be in my small group. I'm not going to miss it for the next 50 days. And then the third commitment is I'm going to actually do the material that goes along with this 50 days of transformation. When you go to your small group this week, you're going to get an incredibly nice book. And in that book is going to have all the stuff that we're all going to be doing for the next 50 days. It has the 50 devotionals in it that we do one a day. It has the goal setting exercises. It has the small group materials. It has all that in there. You get that this week when you go to your small group. But those are the three commitments. God, I'm going to commit to being here every week over the next 50 days. I'm going to commit to being in my small group over the next 50 days. And I'm going to commit to actually doing the material in the book. Man, if you make a commitment to those three things, I guarantee you, you will be a different person 50 days from now. If you're ready to make that commitment to God, would you just do that right now in your heart, just between you and God. Maybe there's something else that you need to get right with God or do some spiritual business with God about. Maybe for you it's part of that forgetting what lies behind. Maybe some of you even need to have some people pray for you about that. Would you help me just let that stuff go? I want to press on toward the goal of the upward prize of the call of Christ Jesus. I want to forget what lies behind. I believe that this year, for many of you, is going to be the best year in God you've ever had. Maybe there's something going on in your life that you'd like someone to pray for you about. Maybe it has nothing to do with anything we've talked about this weekend, but you have a personal prayer need. Maybe you need healing, physical healing, emotional healing, relational healing. Maybe you're feeling sort of attacked by maybe something demonic. You'd like somebody to pray for you about that. We always pray for people at the end of our services here at the Vineyard. We love to do that. We believe that God breaks in and changes lives all the time. Prayer changes things. And so when we dismiss the service in just a moment, if you'd like someone to pray for you, we're going to have a ministry team here at the altar. And if you would just come up afterwards, find one of these people, we'd love to pray for you. And then if you're a guest, maybe you've been coming for a while, but you've never gone to a guest welcome out in the lobby in the information center, we'll have some pastors and leaders there. We'd love for you to stop by. It takes just a couple minutes. We'd love to give you some information that you can look at. And, you know, if you have any questions later, you can come back and ask us or call us or whatever. So could I have the ministry team please come to the front? And then I'd like to ask everybody to stand. I just want to pray a blessing over you before you go. This is a big week. Small groups begin. Transformation. 50 days. It's a big week. Would you open your hearts to God right now? God, I pray for all my friends here. And I pray, Lord, that you, Holy Spirit, would seal all the decisions and all the commitments that so many people have made today or have made earlier about this 50 Days of Transformation campaign. God, seal those things. Don't allow the enemy to steal it. And God, help us to fulfill and live out those commitments. And God, really begin that process of transforming us from the inside out, even this week. I pray for all the small groups this week, God, that your Spirit would be there in a wonderful and a powerful way. I pray that new friendships would be started, that old friendships would be rekindled, that it would just be an incredible experience in our small groups all over the valley. And so as my friends go now, Lord, I pray that you'd bless them, that you would keep them, that you'd cause your face to shine upon them, you'd be gracious to them. Lift up your favor upon them, God, and give them peace as they go. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Hey, say hi to some people around you before you go. If you don't know them, introduce yourself. You can sign up for small groups out in the lobby. God bless. We'll see you soon.